Let us commence our meditation this evening by reading together hymn number 251. Hymn number 251. When Jesus, with his mighty love, visits my troubled breast, my doubts subside, my fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. I love the Lord with mind and heart, his people and his ways. Envy and pride and lust depart, and all his works I praise. Nothing but Jesus I esteem. My soul is then sincere, and everything that's dear to him, to me is also dear. But when these short visits end, though not quite left alone, I miss the presence of my friend, like one whose comfort's gone. I to my own sad place return, my wretched state to feel. I tire and faint and mope and mourn, and am but barren still. More frequent let thy visits be, or let them longer last. I can do nothing without thee. Make haste, O God, make haste. Let us now read together from the Song of Solomon and chapter 3, the third chapter of Solomon's Song. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, "Saw ye him whom my soul loveth?" It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love, till he please. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchants? And behold his bed, which is Solomon's, 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. He made the pillars thereof of silver, the bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple, the midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart. In this sacred Hebrew poetry, there is the constant use of metaphors, as there is in all poetry. Something is used to illustrate a particular aspect of divine truth. And here it says, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. This is the spouse of Christ. With her is night time. It's dark. You know, times of darkness, times of grief, times of temptation, times of perhaps heavy trials in providence, in the family, in your work, in your business, and you're very troubled, very tried. And she says, I sought him, that of course it is him whom my soul loveth, which is Christ. I sought him, but I found him not. But we notice when we were looking at the second chapter, in the last verse of that second chapter, it says, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Betha. You see, the day hadn't broken. It was still the night season. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. She loved him still, even though she didn't feel his presence. She didn't feel his love in her heart. She didn't feel light and life within her soul. It was a day of trouble, a day of perplexity, a day of barrenness, a day when one feels far off from the Lord, a day when we have to say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We're wretched because we feel the sin and corruption of our heart. And when she feels all these troubles and these trials and these perplexities and these sorrows, these losses, these temptations, she sought him. You know, it's great mercy if when we come into trouble and trial and perplexity, we seek the Lord, we seek his help, we seek his divine guidance and leading. So she says here, I will rise now from off her bed. I will rise now and go about the city. We noticed, as we just read together in verse 9, it says, O ye daughters of Zion. And so the city is Zion, it's Jerusalem. It's the city of the living God, Mount Zion. The joy of the whole earth shall she be called. I will rise now. I will go to the house of God. I will meet with the people of God. I'll go to hear the preaching of the word. She longed. I will rise now. It's the spirit of faith. I will rise now. And go about the city in the streets and in the broad ways. I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. You notice the last part of verse 1 and verse 2 are the same. So she goes around in Zion's, hearing the preaching of the word. I sought him, but I found him not. Perhaps when you've heard the Lord's servant on a previous occasion and you go up to the house of God with such a longing desire, and you feel, oh, that I could hear as I did in former days, and that there might be a living power in the word, enlightening and enlivening me. It says here in verse 3, the watchmen that go about the city found me. To whom I said, she's the watchman of the ministers of the sanctuary, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them. You know, sometimes, friends, when we've had those former blessings and sweet times of reviving in the sanctuary, under your pastor, under another minister, and you go to hear that minister again, you can't find him, you can't feel anything. It was but a little that I passed from them. That's from the watchman. I found him whom my soul loveth. See, she had to be weaned off of everything. But we have a tendency to lean on things that will not support us. And because perhaps you've heard a minister so well in previous times, you go up with that expectation and that desire, and you don't get anything. And the reason is you're looking to the man. You've had sweet times under his preaching before, but then you can't feel it now. It was but a little that I passed from them. The Lord weans us off every prop to lean on, so that we lean alone on Christ. It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. What a precious thing when we find him whom our soul loveth. When we touch the hem of Jesus' garments, when we draw from that sacred fullness that is in him, I found him whom my soul loveth. What sweetness, what love, what grace, what power flows into your heart. What strength is given when you find Christ, when you feel his presence. Your darkness is turned to light. Your bondage is turned to liberty. Your far off condition, you're made nigh. You're made nigh by the precious blood of Christ. This metaphorical language is used by the dear apostle. It's used throughout the word of God. And Satan is called the prince of darkness. Christ is the prince of light. He's the light of the world. Satan is darkness. And the Apostle Paul, when he writes his epistle to the first epistle to the Thessalonians, and he speaks unto the brethren at Thessalonica, he says in verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him. What a sacred, precious thing to hold Christ in the arms of faith. To say, my beloved is mine and I am his. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. That's the church of God, that's Zion. It's, you see, my mother's house. Zion is called the womb of the morning. Into my mother's house. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. You see, one hymn writer, he says, as one newborn and nourished there, I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Another aspect of this, not only to go in a sweet sense of expectation and rejoicing up to the services of the sanctuary, my mother's house, but to go up to follow the Lord. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And you take him there. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. And then you go forward and you testify of the wonderful grace of God that has reached your heart, and the love of Christ shed abroad in your soul, and the brethren receive you, so that you can then be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and also go to the Lord's table. These are done in the spirit of faith, baptized in faith, and go into the sanctuary in faith, to the Lord's table in faith. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Now, she desires that in this sweet place where she has her beloved, his arms are around her, his left hand is under her head, his right hand doth embrace her. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, that's her fellow believers in Zion, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please. I'm in his embrace, and I want to remain in his embrace. Now this chapter, it continues. It's now speaking of Christ. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense? All the powders of the merchants, these myrrh and frankincense, the sweet graces of the Spirit that rest upon Christ. And there's a sweet savour in his name. His name is as ointment poured forth. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. And here, in the mystical sense, Solomon is a most beautiful type of our Lord Jesus Christ. Behold his bed. You know, the dwelling place of Christ on earth is the church. And I believe that that is what is meant here. When it speaks of his bed, his resting place, where Christ is. It says in Psalm 87, his foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. You see, my beloved friends, it's the dwelling place of Christ. It's where he meets with his people. It's where he feeds the souls of his people. Behold his bed, which is Solomon's, which is Christ's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel, that all hold swords. They're armed. They're expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh, because of fear in the night. You know, in a sense here, we have the Lord's servants. They're at the front line of the battle. They have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And they absolutely depend upon the Holy Spirit to open the Word of God, to breathe the Word of God. They all hold swords. You know, it says in the Word of God, that we should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. We should be determined to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I don't think this particular illustration is confined only to ministers. I think that's what it principally means. But, you know, deacons, officers in the church, they need the Lord's divine anointing to fulfill those things that are to be done. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the night. King Solomon made himself a chariot of the wood of Lebanon. A chariot of the wood of Lebanon. What was this chariot for? Now let us look at it as King Solomon, as King Jesus. We have ample proof in the Word of God that this is the case. My mind, it goes to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And verse 1. Now we know it's speaking of Solomon, but we cannot help but see a greater than Solomon here, even our Lord Jesus Christ. The words of the preacher, capital P. Why? Because it's Christ. The words of the preacher. There's no man spake like this man. No man could preach like this man. The words of the preacher, the son of David. Christ was born of the son of David, according to the flesh, king in Jerusalem. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he sitteth king for ever. The heathen rage against him, but he remains. Nothing can move him. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now this chariot, he made the pillars thereof of silver. What does it speak of? The wonderful graces of the Spirit. He was anointed with the Spirit without measure. Our Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. You know, it speaks of it in the prophecy of Isaiah. Of the Spirit of the Lord God, resting upon him, resting upon our Lord, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we read in the 11th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, that's David's father, and a branch, capital B, shall grow out of his roots, that's Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord shall make him of a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. You see, my beloved friends, this is the glorious person of our precious Redeemer, the Son of God, that is manifest in the flesh. He made the pillars thereof of silver, anointed with the Holy Ghost without measure, the bottom thereof of gold. Gold in Solomon's song represents divinity. What it's highlighting here in King Solomon, in the glorious person of Christ, he is the Son of God. He is declared to be the Son of God with power. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And it says in the Word of God, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The bottom thereof of gold, the covering of it of purple. That purple could represent the suffering Saviour, how he redeemed his church, his bride. How he suffered and bled and died. How he poured out his soul unto death. How he hung on the cross of Calvary, a spectacle of shame. And upon him resting the sin and the iniquity of his church, of his bride. And we read of the Eternal Father. It says in Zechariah, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and the man that is my fellow." That's Christ. And that is the sword of divine justice. Should have swept the whole of the election of grace into eternal perdition. But that sword found a substitute. And that substitute was Christ. And the covering of it of purple, I believe, represents a suffering Saviour who died for our sins and rose again for our justification. And why did he do it? For love. For love. He says, "The midst thereof being paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem." Paved with love for the daughters of Jerusalem. And these daughters of Jerusalem, same as the next verse, "O ye daughters of Zion, go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of his espousals, in the day of the gladness of his heart." That dear suffering Saviour that died for our sins rose again for our justification. And that dear Saviour has now bodily ascended into glory. We have a great high priest. We have a friend before the throne of love. We have an exalted Saviour, an advocate with the Father. And what the is saying here, "Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him in the day of the his espousals and in the day of the gladness of his heart." His espousals, he's redeemed his church, his bride, the marriage supper of the Lamb. "Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon." Behold him as your prophet. Behold him as your priest. Behold him as your king. Behold him as your redeemer. Behold him as your almighty Saviour, who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. Behold him as your great high priest. Behold him as your great high priest. For such an high priest have we, who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him. He's crowned him Lord of all. Jesus is the mighty God. Jesus, the exalted Saviour. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. That every knee should bow before him. Go forth, O daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him, in the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. We read in the first chapter of Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, and the desire of the apostle was that the Lord would so enlighten us that we may behold King Solomon, that we may behold King Jesus in heaven above. And you look here in this first of Ephesians, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Go forth, O ye daughters of Zion, and behold King Solomon, with the crown wherewith his mother crowned him, in the day of his espousals, and in the day of the gladness of his heart. May the Lord add his blessing to these few remarks that we have made. May the Lord help us in prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God of heaven, we do desire to thank thee for our great high priest who is passed into the heavens, who sitteth at thy right hand and has all power given unto him in heaven and in earth. Oh, we come, most gracious Lord, at this time to worship thee. We come as poor sinners. We come seeking to confess our sins and our wanderings and our backslidings. We leave undone the things that we ought to do. We do the things that we ought not to do. We find a law within our members that when we would do good, then evil is present with us. And truly, Lord, we have to say, O wretched man, that I am. O most gracious Lord, yet we thank thee that there is deliverance for poor, wretched, needy sinners in our Lord Jesus Christ, in his precious blood and righteousness. And we desire to come to thee now in his name and seek mercy and grace and seek guidance and direction and pray that thy word may be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and pray that we may be made more spiritually minded and that our heart and our affections may be set upon things above, and pray to be kept and delivered from the temptations of Satan, from the power and dominion of sin. Oh, do hear us, Lord. We do humbly beseech thee. Deliver us from an evil heart of unbelief, for thy great name's sake. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wouldst give us clear believing views of the glorious person of our precious Redeemer. We pray that thou wouldst bless us as a church and as a congregation, and in these strange days in which we live, in being unable to meet together in the sanctuary that is withholden from us at this time. And yet, Lord, the means have been found whereby we can still meet around the throne of grace, still come to thee in prayer collectively, and we can still worship thee together. And we do thank thee for that. We thank thee for all thy mercies and thy loving kindnesses that have passed before us in the way. Bless our dear brethren, the deacons. Give them grace, wisdom and help. Bless each one of our brethren and sisters in church fellowship. Grant that the arms of thine everlasting love may surround us as a church and as a congregation. And grant that there may yet be the glory and light of the gospel to shine in our midst, the strongholds of Satan to be pulled down, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus to be set up in the hearts of sinners, that we may see the prodigals returning. Lord, we long to see such a day as prodigals return into the sanctuary, we pray that thou wouldst cause them to be in one and to make their way, even as thou didst the prodigal son. Oh, do hear us, Lord, we humbly beseech thee, for thy great name's sake. And do bless us with real, true spiritual prosperity. Grant thy blessing, Lord, upon the whole of our congregation, the little ones, the children, the young friends, each and every one in the midst of the journey of life, and those in the evening time of life's journey. Lord, each one, wherever they may be at this time, have mercy, O Lord, upon each one, and graciously draw us together, and grant that this season may soon be over. We think of the terrible circumstances, O Lord, the pandemic sweeping through the nations of the earth and thousands being taken from time into eternity. In our own nation, Lord, thou hast heard prayer for our Prime Minister, and we thank thee for that. And we pray that he may be fully restored to health and strength, and that thy blessing may rest upon him, and that wisdom, understanding and guidance may be given unto all those that rule over us at this time, for thy great name's sake. And grant that these things may be sanctified to the nation, that there may be a seeking and searching unto thee. And is there not a cause? And we think of our nation, Lord, and the terrible sins of our nation, the open sin of our nation, the slaughter of thousands and thousands of innocent babes in the womb, and, O Lord, the immorality, unrighteousness that is legislated for, and good is called evil and evil is called good. Lord, we live in such solemn days. But in wrath, remember mercy. Bless our beloved Queen, consort, and each member of the royal household. Oh, bless them with that rich grace. We do humbly beseech thee that is in Christ Jesus. And raise up in our parliament men of God. Lord, remember the churches. Remember thy people everywhere. Remember those that are lonely. And remember, O Lord, we do beseech thee, those that are in the front line of this battle against this virus. We think of the nurses and the doctors in the National Health Service as they battle day by day. And many, O Lord, before their eyes pass from time into eternity. Lord, use these things with them, to open their eyes to the solemn reality. It is appointed unto man once to die, but after death the judgment. O Lord, give them wisdom, give them guidance, and give them direction. We do humbly beseech of thee. Remember the causes of truth up and down the land. Remember each one of thy labouring servants, wherever they may labour, and grant that fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. And grant that we may see a reviving. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. Oh, we thank thee that thou hast laid hold upon one that is mighty, even our almighty Saviour. We thank thee for Jesus, the way, the truth and the life. We thank thee that we can come unto thee in his holy name, and plead in all things for his name's sake. We thank thee, O Lord, as the dear apostle says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Lord, it is beyond our comprehension, that profound mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. We thank thee for the cross of Calvary. We thank thee for the holy, sinless life of Christ. The law has been fulfilled and honoured and magnified for the church. Divine justice has been satisfied. The sin of the church, the redemption price has been paid. The dear Saviour has left the tomb and ascended into glory, and death is swallowed up in victory, and a new and living way is made into the holy place. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. We thank thee that through that dear Saviour, we know the love of a heavenly Father, and we know and feel the sweet gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask all in that wonderful name of our glorified Saviour, sitting at thy right hand, we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now read together hymn number 972. Hymn number 972. The hymn writer here is exulting in an exalted Saviour in heaven. And may we, indeed, as we've read together in the Word, behold King Solomon with the crown that he's crowned with. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. See the exalted Saviour now, from the fight return victorious. Every knee to him shall bow. Crown him, crown him. Crowns become the victor's brow. Crown the Saviour, saints adore him. Rich the trophies Jesus brings. Saints and angels bow before him, while the vault of heaven rings. Crown him, crown him. Crown the Saviour, King of Kings. Hark, those bursts of acclamation. Hark, those loud triumphant chords. Jesus takes the highest station. Oh, what joy the sight affords. Crown him, crown him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.